am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples.
Good morning. I just want to clarify what Kara said. She's still single, so she'll appreciate me saying that. Also, she was done with the falafels, so, you know, I got in there. You can't let food go to waste. Sorry I don't have an accent. Ian Leach was great last week. I just thought after hearing his Scottish accent that I'd love for him to read me a bedtime story and tuck me in every night. That was awesome. I wonder if my accent would be that awesome in Scotland. I don't know. My name is Kirby, and I have the pleasure of working with students here at Woodman. It is such a great pleasure. I thought we'd start off this morning with a little story. And I've got a confession to make. It's not my story. I actually, I heard it from Josh. And so if he shares it again with you guys, can you like act surprised, act like it's the first time you've heard it and be really impressed? But it's a story that he shared with the staff a few weeks ago, and it's just been something that I haven't quite been able to shake, and it's applicable to what we'll be studying today in John chapter 15. And so he said a few weeks ago, whenever Dr. Joe Stoll was sharing with us, that he had a few minutes alone with Dr. Joe. And that he had a conversation with him. And he said, you know, Dr. Joe, it's pretty amazing how long you've served in the ministry. And the fact that you want to continue serving in the ministry after so many years. And not only that, that others want you to continue serving in the ministry after all these years. And he said, you know, what's the secret? What's the key there? And you know, I think Josh was looking for five steps or, something really, really exotic and intricate. But it wasn't that at all. Dr. Joe thought for just a minute, and he began to share, and he shared something like this. And it may sound a little bit different when you hear it from Josh, because I'm paraphrasing here. I'm running off of memory. But he said, you know, I think the secret to it has been staying close to Jesus. Staying close to Jesus. And I've thought about that over and over and over the last few weeks. This morning, as we open up God's word to John chapter 15, we're going to see these words come out of Jesus' mouth. And these are some of the words that were the final words that he had with his buddies, with his disciples, before they took him, hauled him up to the cross. And I'm sure the disciples were sent into a tailspin of confusion and second guessing and just wondering what God's plan was in all of this. And these words, I'll admit, they sound a little like the words of Dr. Joe when Jesus says, abide in me. But probably instead, Dr. Joe's words sound a little like Jesus's, would probably be a little bit more accurate. So John chapter 15, let's read together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in you, I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, he can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." 10 times in that passage and in the few verses after that passage, Jesus says the word abide. Over and over and over, Jesus proclaims to his friends that in the time coming, it's important that you remain in me, knowing all the time that he wasn't going to be there, knowing all the time that he was going to be hanging on a cross and he was going to be ascending to heaven. He's telling his disciples, remain in me, as some translations would say. Continue in me, as some translations would say. But definitely all including, stay close to me. You know, the point that Jesus begins with in verses 1-3 is that it's always helpful to abide in him, and that the point of following Jesus is this fruit. And he begins to introduce this idea of fruit. You know, it's always helpful to know the reason you're learning something when you're learning something, right? Have you ever heard something and said, "I will never need to know that again"? Hopefully you're not thinking that this morning. Have you ever tried to do something and thought, "Man, I wish I would have paid a little bit more attention"? You know, in the days before YouTube, projects were a lot more difficult. But you know, Jesus does this a huge favor, and he explains to us what the point of what he's going to say really is. I had this shop teacher at Lewis Palmer. That's where I went to high school. His name was Mr. Romano. And he was awesome. He was a big Italian guy. And he had all the safety requirements when we were using the tools, because we used to do shop class and wood shop. And so our metal shop and wood shop. So there was lots of dangerous things going on. And we had to wear safety goggles. You know, we had to wear gloves. We had certain precautions, 2 hands on the tool at all times. And I remember those safety precautions didn't mean that much to me until 1 week Mr. Romano came to school and started class, and he had stitches right up his lip. And he began to explain that over the weekend he'd been using the grinder and it had kicked back. And in that process, it had caught him right in the lip and really messed up his lip. And you know what? I think me and the whole class were really appreciative of all of his safety rules. After that, we really paid a lot more attention. Jesus says this in the 7th and final I am statement of the book of John. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit." He says, "Already you are clean by the word, because of the word that I have spoken to you." Jesus explains that the point of following Jesus, the point of following him, is bearing fruit. The point of abiding in him and living close to him is bearing fruit. God is the vine dresser, and the vine dresser's job is to be sure the vines are producing. And so he says, if you're not bearing fruit, takes you away. If you are bearing fruit, he refines you so that you bear more fruit. And he clarifies the subject of his teaching in verse 3. He says, "Already you are clean because of the words that I've spoken to you." He acknowledges to his disciples that he's not speaking about salvation. He says, "Already you are clean because of your faith in me, because of your relationship with me." And he clarifies that in this passage, he's really speaking about our fruit, the product of our salvation, not our salvation. And so if you're here today and you're saying, "Wow, cleansed, you've already been cleansed from sin, I don't know that I've experienced that yet." Well, today is July 3rd, 2016, and it would be a perfect day for you to experience that. It's pretty simple. It's accepting that that Jesus is who he said he was, that he is who he said he is. That he came for us, he lived a sinless life, he died on a cross, he was the Son of God, but he also became fully man. It also requires that you accept that you are who Jesus says you are. that you are created in the image of God, but also scarred by sin, separated from God by sin. And that the only way to overcome that sin that separates us, that pushes us away from God, is a need for a Savior and accepting that Jesus is exactly that. So today is a great day for that. But knowing that Jesus isn't talking about salvation, instead he's talking about fruit, we continue. And the point of following Jesus is bearing this fruit. And fruit could really be defined as how God has changed our lives from that sinful, that self-consumed person that we were before we met Jesus. That's part of fruit. Also part of fruit is how has God used us and used who we've become to change other people's lives. As a kid, I grew up north of here on the Palmer Divide. And we had spring camp up on the Palmer Divide this year, and it actually turned into like winter camp. It's right in the middle of a huge blizzard. But I grew up there, and my grandpa lived just down the street from me. And my grandpa was the type of guy who loved to eat fruit. He had fruit in his hand all the time, whether it was a tomato that he was eating like an apple and making a giant mess, or if it was a peach or cherries, whatever it was, we always had to stop at the farmer's market. He always had to have a good stock of fruit in the house. And my grandpa always kind of had this cool idea that he'd love to have fruit trees. And so you can imagine on the Palmer Divide, it didn't work out so well. And so oftentimes, you know, he would find a fruit tree at the hardware store, and we'd have to try it because it was climate tolerant, it was altitude tolerant. You know, there used to be a guy who parked over here, and he would once in a while stop and pick up a tree, and we'd have to try a tree again. And so we would plant a tree, we'd water it, we'd follow all the directions, we'd put the fertilizer sticks, whatever you do to make the tree grow. And my grandpa always had great big plans. And the tree would never really get more than knee high. It would stop about right there. And so we'd water it and we'd continue doing what we were supposed to do to try to make it grow, and it just would never grow. And then inevitably, I'd be driving the lawnmower and run over the tree, and it'd become a tree stub, and I'd be in huge trouble. But we'd have this conversation like, Grandpa, what use is a tree that only gets this high and never has any fruit on it anyway? We've been trying. We've been doing our best, and it's not been productive. So who cares if I ran it over? That didn't work so well. You know, what good is a tree that doesn't bear fruit? It's about as good as a follower of Jesus who doesn't allow him to change our lives. It's about as good as a follower of Jesus who doesn't allow God to change our lives in such a way that affects other people's lives. If as a follower of Jesus we remain the same old, selfish, sin-consumed, sin-scarred people, what good are we? Our relationship with Jesus is so much more than a get-out-of-hell-free card. It's a life marked by fruit. It's a life marked by someone who knows God, someone who's come to understand him. It should produce a life where we understand and we walk with God, and we know why he does what he does. We expect him to do the things that he does and the things that he doesn't do. We know his voice. And we know his character. It should be a life that glorifies God. A life through which God is made famous. And other people see the way we're living, and other people say, man, God's pretty cool. Others come to know God through us. They see us and they see Jesus. It should be a life where we're leading others. Should be a life where we gain influence, we gain respect. Others know him because of us. Others know that we are his and he is ours. A life that was once self-centered, consumed, and ravaged by sin. As we meet Jesus and he begins to prune, he begins to refine, he begins to shape, he begins to tune our lives, should become more of a life that's marked by the fruit that the Apostle Paul speaks of a little later in Galatians chapter 5. That's marked by love, it's marked by joy, it's marked by peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If I didn't forget any. That is the point. The point of following Jesus is not just an escape from hell. The point of following Jesus is to gain relationship with God and experience life in fellowship with him, life to the fullest, a life in which we know him, we glorify him, and we influence others to do the same. Jesus speaks of the power with which we produce fruit. It's pretty amazing that trees produce this delicious thing hanging on their branches. And you know, the way that we produce fruit is through Jesus and our relationship with him. Continuing in verse 4, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches." So Jesus continues, and there are the words, abide, continue, and remain again. The idea that is that if we stay close to Jesus, we gain fruit. And that fruit cannot be gained apart from Jesus. He is the key. He is the power by which we gain our fruit. So Jesus continues with this important note. Because sometimes I think that we think a good way to gain fruit, like me and my grandpa tried, is all of the watering and adding the fertilizer and all those things. And I think sometimes to gain fruit in our lives, we think the right thing to do is to try harder. If we want the traits, if we want to write books that are influential, if we want to lead a university like Dr. Joe and affect other people's lives and be influential, we think, you know what? The best thing that I can do is try to be good, try to be faithful, try to have peace, try to be patient, try to be kind. And we try our best, but as hard as we try, that isn't fruit. Because fruit, as Jesus says, is something that must be gained through abiding in him, not trying hard on our own. So it's important to remember that the power to gain fruit comes as the result of our effort toward abiding in Jesus, continuing in and remaining close to Jesus, as Dr. Joe would put it, not in trying to make our own fruit. That the motivation to get us to fruit, the mode at which we gain fruit, is through that relationship, through that abiding in Jesus. We've had a few pretty busy weeks here at Woodman Valley. With 3 weeks of summer day camp, it's been full. It's been great. And this last week, as I was thinking about our time together, I've got this truck, and it's definitely not a sports car. It doesn't turn or stop like a sports car by any means. And I had it loaded up with a few things, and I was making my way across town. And I was just praying about our time together, thinking about this time that we'd have this Sunday. And so I had some David Crowder cranked on the radio, and I was praying and just spending time with Jesus. And I was going down Austin Bluffs, and I needed to get over in the right lane. And there was kind of a line of cars. And so I kind of got to a spot where I thought maybe I could get over, and I turned on my turn signal. You guys know a turn signal, right? Supposed to signal that you're going to turn, right? That you need to get over. Sometimes people interpret that as like, I need to speed up because somebody's trying to get over, right? And so I turned on my turn signal, and as I began to try to make my way over, the guy who was kind of next to me and a little bit further back from me sped up. And so I'm like, okay. So I sped up a little bit more because there's a line of cars behind him trying to get over, and realizing the whole time that my truck is full, and realizing that I'm praying and singing to Dave, you know, singing to Jesus with David Crowder, and it's great. And so I'm trying to get over, and I'm watching my mirror, and all of a sudden in front of me, like, this guy pulls a U-turn out into the middle lane. And so my truck not stopping or turning all that well. I locked up the brakes a little bit, tried not to get in that guy's lane, tried not to run over the other guy, and I honked my horn, right? And all the time, I'm praying about abiding in Jesus. All the time, I'm listening to David Crowder singing some worship. And so my heart's beating really quick. And we pull up to the stoplight, and the guy who pulled the U-turn, his window just happened to be down. And you know, my heart was beating, but the reason it was beating was not like the usual reason. It wasn't because I wanted to choke him at all. It wasn't because I was angry at him at all. You know what it was? It was like, I was scared. I thought we were gonna get into an accident. And so I pulled up next to this guy with his window down, and I rolled down my window and I said, man, I'm sorry I honked at you. You scared me. I thought you didn't see me. And he said, no, I saw you, but I thought you were getting into the other lane. And I was like, man, I was trying. And you know what he said? Something that like caught me off guard. He said, well, I'm sorry too. And he said, you know what? People aren't usually this nice in this situation. And it was funny, like on the side in Austin Bluffs waiting for the light to turn, I thought, you know, unfortunately, I'm not usually this nice in this situation. And as I thought about it, I began to think, you know what, maybe abiding in Jesus, maybe staying connected to Jesus, looks a little bit like this. Looks a little bit like me getting less frustrated with people and trying to make those wrongs right. And looks a little bit more like me being forgiving, like me being concerned for others. And like me just reaching out in kindness and saying, man, I'm sorry, but I'm glad we made it through that. And as out of character as that unfortunately was for me in that situation, it was a great reminder of what it looks like to stay connected to Jesus and how staying connected to Jesus can change some of that fruit in my life. And Jesus can begin to prune away some of those things that are unproductive in my life. Jesus continues with our choice. In verse 5b, he says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And branches are gathered and thrown into a fire and burned. Jesus uses some pretty strong words here. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away. He is thrown into the fire and he's burned. And you know, there's a lot of differing opinions on what Jesus is actually trying to say here. And you can find many smart people who would say, who'd be of the opinion that this means that if we don't bear fruit, our salvation, our relationship with Jesus is in jeopardy. And then there would be other smart people who would say, you know what, if we don't bear fruit, it's just an indicator that we've never taken a step of faith in Jesus. Because just taking that step of faith in itself is bearing fruit. And you can totally decide for yourself. But a few things that I'm really sure about in this passage. The first thing is that salvation comes through faith in Christ. And faith does involve action, as James would put it. As Jesus would put it in just the chapter before it. In John 14:23, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. If you love me, you'll obey my commands and so bear fruit. And Jesus made it clear that he was not speaking about salvation way back in verse 3 of this passage. He said, you're already clean because of the word that I have spoken, because of your faith, because of your trust in me. And so I know that Jesus is the vine. I know that God is the vine dresser. And I know that God is in the business of refining us into someone who understands him, who glorifies him, who influences others. And that process may not always be pleasant. It may be something that causes us to have to swallow our pride at times. It may be something that causes us to make apologies at times. It may be something that causes us to have to do something we'd really rather not do. And the process of pruning is an interesting idea. I used to work for a guy, and we did construction work, but whenever we were slow, we would do like whatever work. Stuff around the house, whatever he had to do. And so one time he put me to work with a chainsaw, pruning his trees, you know, trimming up his trees and making them look nice. And so he had to run somewhere. His wife kind of started me on the job, and I began pruning the pine tree in his backyard. And I thought it was looking pretty great. But the wife came out, and she's like, what did you I think I took off more than she was expecting. But it was like this whole thing of like, yeah, it might look a little bare now, but just wait, it's gonna look great. Just give it time. And pruning sometimes is like that in our lives. Sometimes it's hard to believe that this process that we're going through, we're gonna exit the other side healthier and more like Jesus. But God prunes us, whether it feels backwards. He wants us to get better. He wants us to get more productive. He wants to make us into more of someone that looks like him, someone who affects others around him. My wife loves HGTV. Is there any HGTV fans out there? Awesome. I don't know whether I like it or not. And part of the reason is because whenever my wife watches HGTV, I get like a list of tasks. You know what I mean? And so I'm not sure if I like it, but I do like the remodel shows where like the contractor comes in and the contractor says, okay, tell me what you want. And the homeowner has these grand plans. I want to redo my kitchen. I want to blow out walls. I want to do custom cabinets and built-in appliances and hard surface countertops and backsplat floors, everything. I want it to look awesome. And so they paint this huge vision in their mind. And the contractor's like, all right, we can make that happen. There's gonna be challenges, but we can get it done. And so everybody's excited. You have the rendering. It's all woo, exciting. And then the contractor starts. And it seems like, and I know some of this is TV drama, but it seems like partway into it, the homeowner begins to get really worried that the contractor doesn't know what they're doing. You know, there's unexpected challenges. There's things that are coming their way that they're like, I had no idea it was gonna be this messy. I had no idea that there was a vent there or plumbing there, and now that's gonna change everything or cost me more money. And there's always these unforeseen problems and compromises that must be made along the way. And the homeowners get all frustrated and upset. And the foreman's like, it's okay. This is what we discussed. There would be a cost. There would be unforeseen problems. It would take a long time. Just bear with me. Just trust me. And the homeowner's like, man, I don't understand. I don't know if we can get there. And the homeowner sometimes gets mad and upset. The contractor's like, you can come back when it's all over. Just stay away, right? And of course, at the end, like sometimes my wife, she'll record those things on her DVR and she'll watch like the beginning and then she'll fast forward through all the drama in the middle and then she'll just watch the end. Whenever they come into their new house and there's like a tear and they're like, oh, it's everything I ever thought it would be. Likewise, as followers of Jesus, in the process of Jesus pruning us, in the process of staying connected to Jesus and God coming through and fine-tuning us and correcting us and pulling things off and changing things and helping us in areas that need help. We can't say, you know what? I want the character that Galatians chapter 5 speaks of. I want to write books for Jesus. I want to write songs. I want to be president of a university. I want others to respect me for my faith. I want fruit. And when Jesus says, the way that that comes about, the way that we get there is abiding in me, is trusting me. We can't say, no. That's not what I signed up for. We can't say, no, you don't understand what I was looking for. We can't try harder as a follower of Jesus to do things on our own. We can't do that. We've got to trust that he knows what he's doing. And that the process of abiding in him is going to create those things in our lives. So how do we abide in Jesus? How do we live connected with him? Well, Pastor Josh shared with our vacation Bible school, our summer day camp kids, that the way that we grow is three easy things. We pray, we study, and we obey. And those are three pretty simple things that I think all of us can say, those help us abide in Christ. Those help us stay connected to Christ. And when we study, when we pray, when we obey, it doesn't happen overnight. Just like that construction project and that angry homeowner who's like, this is taking too long. We've got to have patience. You know, a vine takes 3 years from like beginning of growth to the actual time when it might bear fruit. So I could have been a little bit more patient before I mowed off those fruit trees for my grandpa. 3 years. And up until that time, the disciples had spent 3 years with Jesus. They had spent 3 years working alongside him and preparing for the work that was ahead. And as Jesus was getting ready to withdraw from that situation, he said, stay connected, abide with me, study, obey, and pray. So don't lose heart. If you want to understand God, if you want to make him famous, if you want to influence others, if you want to bear fruit, much like Paul spoke of, we've got to choose to abide in Christ. We've got to stay attached to him, remain in him, and abide in him, and the fruit will come. Jesus continues in verse 7, and let's go there. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Jesus basically says, three things happen if we abide in him. Three things happen if we remain connected with him. The first thing is we begin to know God. We gain an understanding of God. He says, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Do you guys hear that? Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Sounds pretty great. So we could, God, be sweet to have a new car that handles a little bit better. It'd be awesome to have a bigger TV and bacon. And then we're like, what happened? Jesus, he didn't make it happen. Well, I think we have to be careful not to forget those few words that say, if you abide in me, if you are close to me, living in me, attached to me, then ask and you will receive. My words will become your words. And if we abide in Jesus, that's what happens. We gain an understanding of him. So those things we ask, those are the things that please him. Those are the things that he's wanting to do. And those are the things that we get to be a part of. It's like St. Augustine of Hippo when he said, once and for all then, a short precept is given thee. Love and do what thou wilt. When we love God, then what we will do is things that please God. When we abide in Christ, the things that we ask for are the things that please him. And whenever we get abiding nailed, we get the asking nailed as well, because we understand God, because we understand what he's doing. When you abide, that's where it all begins. That's where the understanding comes. The next thing that he says in verse 8 is that we glorify God. When we abide in him, we glorify him. He becomes famous through us. He says, by this, my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit. When we abide in him, we gain fruit and God is glorified. I love what the Westminster Shorter Catechism asks. What is the chief of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God, to enjoy him forever. When we abide in him and when we bear fruit, we give God glory. He's made famous through us. People see our fruit and they ask, wow, like God is great. God is amazing. Look what he did with Kirby. Look what he did with Kirby. We begin to lead others is the next thing that Jesus covers. Verse 8b, he says, that you may bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So others see us and go, he's a disciple of Jesus. We gain influence with others. We begin in God's work to have that incredible influence where others know that we are God's and he is ours. What if this summer we dream big? I know that this summer is kind of a nice time because I don't have to take my daughter to school every day. It's fabulous. It's kind of a nice time because the weather's nice. And so the days are longer, and so I can enjoy the outdoors. But it's also as nice as it is to disconnect and to enjoy some of the parts of summers, you know, it also becomes kind of a time that I disconnect with God. Kind of a time that those priorities that I once had with the Lord, it's easy to let them slip away. But what if this summer we choose to lean in and abide in Him even more than the winter when we have school to be at and we have structure of schedules and we have all those things going on? What if this summer we chose to spend more time in His Word and to study? We chose to get ourselves to church all summer long, no matter how great the sunset is on the patio or the weather is or the games that are going on or whatever. We choose to be here. We choose to bring our students here. We choose to make study and spending time with the Lord and fellowship with His people. We choose to make that a priority. What if we choose to make a bigger priority of prayer in the summer when it's so tempting to let prayer just kind of fall off like some of the other things in our lives? What if we choose to set aside more time than ever to pray? We choose to seek God, to fellowship with God. You know, sometimes our priorities are really shown by where we spend our time. You know, we give God just a few minutes, 32-second prayer sometimes before we eat, maybe less if we're really hungry. And that becomes like our prayer time. Sometimes we turn off the radio on the way to work for that 2 minutes and 8 seconds, those last few turns, and just say, okay, I'm gonna spend some time in prayer about the things that stress me out. And then we spend 8 hours at work trying to get them done apart from abiding in Christ. And what if this summer we said, you know what, instead of that, I'm gonna make it a priority to pray. Rain or shine, holiday weekend or not, I'm gonna spend extra time with Jesus and I'm gonna choose to abide and stay connected with Him right now. What if this summer we choose to obey? We choose to say, God, I'm gonna do what You've asked me to do no matter what. I'm going to have some of those awkward conversations about Jesus that I've been putting off that I know I need to. I'm going to go to that group at church. I'm gonna do that thing with those believers. I'm gonna be obedient just because You've asked me to. I'm gonna serve someone. I'm gonna help someone move. I'm gonna help someone do that project that needs to be done. I'm gonna serve someone just because God has asked me to do it. I'm gonna have my neighbors over for the barbecue that I've been dreading a little. I'm gonna make it happen because God has asked me to do it. What if this summer we make our goal knowing Him, walking with Him, infusing with Him, abiding with Him through study, through prayer, and through obedience? And through those things, as we abide in Christ, we're gonna get to see the fruit. We're gonna get to see that we've become someone who knows God, who understands God, just like Jesus said. We're gonna become someone who says, man, God is glorified because of me. People see me and they go, wow, God is good. I'm like, yeah, He is, yeah. And because of our abiding, we gain the opportunity to have influence with others, to lead others in the direction of Jesus. That'd be pretty awesome. Will you take that challenge with me this summer? Choose to lean in, abide in Christ, even when summer has so many other things to offer. Okay, let's pray. Father, I'm grateful that You choose to prune me. God, because I know that I've fallen short. I know that I need tuning. God, I know that I need to get better. And so God, as much as I know that, it's so tempting for me to try to fix that instead of just leaning in and connecting with You and abiding in You and staying close to You. And so God, I pray that You'd help all of us to know that the vehicle by which we gain fruit is our relationship, our closeness, our connectedness with you. And God, help us this summer whenever there's so many other things going on in our lives, so many other things that are demanding of us, to make a priority of studying, to make a priority of praying, to make a priority of being obedient. And God, we'll worship you in the process. Whenever it comes to the confusing time, and because we're abiding in you, we understand, we get it. Because we're close to you, we see what you're working at behind the scenes. God, we'll give you the glory whenever others look at us and they're like, wow, God's big. We won't hog it for ourselves. And God, we will also be so diligent be good stewards when we have the opportunity to be leaders of others, to influence others, because we're abiding in you. In Jesus' name I pray.